All right, amen. So glad you're here tonight. Amen. We're so glad for our guest tonight. Amen. And we are so, anything we can do for you, amen, just let us know. Amen. We want to, amen, be a blessing spiritually in any way we can. Amen. So we want to continue on our series, We Need Prayer. We need to pray. Amen. And this is taken from David Church's teaching. So tonight we'll get into the Word. And you can be seated. We have been talking about prayer, folks. Prayer is our communication with God. Now, we know that many Christians struggle in their prayer lives, and that's not uncommon. The disciples apparently did struggle in theirs as well, because they asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. There are many reasons why people find it hard to pray. Just as the disciples, many people do not know how to pray. And it's hard to pray when you don't know how. Some people find it difficult to pray because they feel they can't pray very well. Some people feel that they are not good enough, or that they do not deserve an answer from God. Other people feel like God is too far away. Some people find it difficult because it takes too much time. Others are not sure that they are praying in the will of God. You see, the disciples were feeling all these things about prayer because Jesus, he addressed each of these in his response to their request to teach them to pray. So let's look in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read Luke chapter 11. Also, we're going to jump down quickly after that to Matthew chapter 6, if you want to put your finger in there. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Brother, can I get a little more monitor, please? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 5 through 13, he said, and when thou hast prayed, then when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, Jesus responded first by giving them some instruction about prayer, and then giving them an example of prayer. There's all kinds of great examples of prayer in the Bible. You can read Solomon's prayer. You can read David's prayer in Psalms 51. There's a lot that's been spoken about the prayer of Jabez. There's even a little booklet written on it. But see, folks, if we want to learn how to pray, Jesus is the greatest example that we have. You see, we call this prayer the Lord's Prayer. But in all actuality, folks, it is actually our prayer given to us by the Lord as a model of how we should pray to Him. How many of you ever remember praying the Lord's Prayer? Maybe you recited it word for word. Now, listen to me tonight. I don't think this prayer is given to us to recite so much as it was given to us as an outline of how we ought to pray. He said, because Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So before we get into the Lord's Prayer, I want to look at a few things that I want to go over with you tonight. And the first is very important. You see, when we pray, or when I pray, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? The disciples had to be taught to pray in Jesus' name. And in John 16, verse 23 through 26, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereunto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. You see, up until this point, the disciples, folks, had not asked anything in the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus had been with them, right? And they didn't think of asking for anything in Jesus' name because he was right there with them. But Jesus was preparing them for his departure. And he was preparing them for Calvary and beyond. Amen. And Jesus was saying, for this day forward, you must pray in my name. You must ask in my name. And I'm not going to be with you much longer. You will have to call me by my name. And if you do that, he's saying to them, if you will do that, if you will call me by my name, you will receive. If you do this, he said, by my name, you will have power. And when you pray in Jesus' name, we are applying the victory that Jesus won over Satan at Calvary. Prayer works, folks. You know why? Because of Calvary. Amen. You know, healing comes through the stripes that Jesus suffered at Calvary. The blood was applied for our sins at Calvary. And it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have the access to the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when we call on Jesus, folks, we are accessing Calvary and everything that Calvary represents. Calvary, folks, represents the death. It represents the burial and the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. I believe that, don't you? That is why we baptize in the name of Jesus. We don't do it in the titles. We do it in the name. Titles are not a name. They tell you what you are. They give you identification, but that name is what is important, in the name of Jesus. So when you pray in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean you can't say God. It doesn't mean you can't say Father or Lord or Savior. Amen. But folks, why not use the name? But we access the power of the cross through Jesus' name. Amen. So before Jesus actually gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he gave them a few important concepts about prayer that we all need to understand tonight. And when you look at the first one, it's found in Matthew 6, verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now Jesus here, he begins this teaching on prayer by stating, when thou prayest, Jesus didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. Amen? See, Jesus obviously expects his disciples to have a prayer life, right? And we are expected to have a prayer life. Pray without ceasing. Amen? That was the first lesson that was totally devoted to this topic of praying always. Pray without ceasing. The third lesson that we spoke about was watching while we pray. Being aware of the time that we are living in. But Jesus instructed us to watch and pray so that that day does not take us unaware. Jesus also said, don't be as the hypocrites. In other words, folks, we must pray with the right motives. We must pray with the right reasons. James stated that we have not because we asked amiss. We asked for the wrong reasons. We asked for the wrong motives. You see, the hypocrites prayed to be seen of men. The hypocrites prayed in the synagogues. They prayed on the street corners. They wanted people to see them and think that they were righteous. That's not what it's all about. Amen? So Jesus is telling us, look, you can pray. But if you're not praying for the right reasons, you're wasting your time. That's basically what he's telling us here, right? See, we have to pray for the right reasons. We have to have the right motives. Jesus said, you have a big problem if you only pray when you come to church. In fact, Jesus said, they have their reward. So if you only pray at church on Sunday and Wednesday, you're not going to make it. Jesus said to pray in secret. Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Jesus wasn't saying that our prayers are more effective when we pray alone. In fact, the Bible says that there is a multitude of power in a corporate prayer. But Jesus, folks, what he was doing, he wanted to emphasize to his disciples and to us the importance of one-on-one relationship with God. Any true and meaningful relationship, folks, needs alone time. You have to have alone time with your spouse if you want to have a successful marriage relationship. Amen? It is a time to shut everything else out. You ever been around sometimes like a party going on and when everybody leaves you go, come on, be honest here tonight. Right? You got to shut everything else out and just spend some time alone sometimes. It's time, it's like these times when it's time to eliminate distractions. It's time to concentrate on your relationship with God. When God sees you're serious enough, folks, to remove all the distractions, God will show up. Amen? He will show up. And to do this, you've got to make the time to pray. And to make the time, you have to have a desire to pray. Jesus said, get alone, enter your closet, shut the door, be observant, undisturbed, unheard. Now we see this over and over in Scripture. The Bible says Peter went on the housetop to pray. Bible says Cornelius prayed in his house in the ninth hour. Jesus rose up early in the morning and went into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus went apart up into the mountain and prayed and continued there all night. We need to find a place and a time to get alone with God on a regular basis. If you do, folks, God will reward you openly. God will meet your needs, both spiritually and materially. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6, verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Don't use vain repetitions. I heard somebody not too long ago praying, "Oh, Father God, da-da-da-da-da, oh, Father God, da-da-da-da-da, oh, Father God." Vain repetitions. What are vain repetitions? Vain repetitions is babble. And babble is saying the same words over and over with no thought behind them. We have to put thought into it. You see, apostolics have to be very careful of this. We pray so often and so much in church and outside of church that we sometimes just go through the motions of prayer. The same is true of worship. We sometimes go through the motions, don't we? Sometimes there's just no thought behind what we're doing. Well, this is what we're supposed to do. Everybody else is doing it. There's no feeling from our hearts. And every time you pray, you need to pray as if Jesus is standing right there in person. Because he is, folks. He is. His spirit is omnipresent. And even when you can't feel his presence, he's there. So when you pray, try and have that awareness that he is always near. And that he is always listening. If you pray like that, you will not babble or use vain repetitions. But your prayers will have a thought. And they will have meaning behind them. Your prayers will be from the heart. Come on. Sometimes some people think that their spouse, they're not listening to them. Oh, you're just saying that because that's what you always say. Sometimes every now and then I'm always telling my wife I love you. And I say, "Do you get tired of hearing me say that?" She says, "Never." Right? Right? But I don't say it just for babble. I say it because I mean it. And that's what God wants. God wants to hear you talk to him because you love him. Because he's special. Amen? So if you pray with meaning and not have these repetitions of babble and all this stuff, your prayers will have thought and meaning behind them. And you say it from the heart, God is going to show up, folks. He's going to bless you openly. And those kind of prayers make that connection with God. Every one of us has been guilty of praying with something else on our minds. Come on. Well, I've got to get that time in. All right? Hey, come on now, listen. We've probably all of us have prayed for our food in the manner before, so intending to bite into that juicy steak. God touches food in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, you're so hungry. I mean, you're sliding that food in as you're saying, amen. Right? You're so hungry, you just rattle a few quick words. Vain repetition. Sometimes when we pray, we feel obligated to pray a long time, don't we? And since it's done out of obligation, it leads to these vain repetitions. But folks, listen to me. God doesn't hear our prayer because it's long and it's repetitious. But he hears us when we're genuine and we pour out our heart to him. That's what he's wanting. And the Bible says that God is drawn to a broken and a contrite heart. God will always hear that kind of heart. And sometimes we pray long because we feel like he will listen more if we pray longer. We pray long because we are seeking God's approval. I wonder sometimes if God feels like that, like I do when I'm sometimes around someone who just won't stop talking. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. You do it too. Somebody's around and you just can't get a word in otherwise. You try to, and they're just, blah, 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 blah. There's no, it's like trying on an exit ramp where the car is just flying by. You can't get on. Right? You can't get a word in edgewise. And it's chatter, 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 chatter. It's all about them. They don't give you a chance to say anything. And you just want to cover your ears. Come on. And you want to shout, shut up! Come on, let's be truthful here tonight. If you don't raise, come on, raise your hand. If you don't, you can come up here for prayer. Come on. We've all been there, haven't we? Don't get me wrong, folks. It's a good thing to pray for extended amounts of time, as long as it's from the heart. But if it's leading to vain repetitions, it's not pleasing to God. It's just a bunch of babble. Prayer is a matter of the heart, not a matter of words, not a matter of length. It's a matter of the heart. And there are times when extended times of prayer are necessary. And when you feel that you need a breakthrough or something or for someone, when a special need arises, when you are facing a great trial or you're facing great temptations, when you are about to make a major decision. But see, listen, folks, if you are already praying always and not babbling, you can't really pray longer than that. If you want to guard against vain repetitions, there are several things that you can do. Number one is have a genuine heart. Have a desire to have real fellowship with God. Amen? Number one, have a genuine heart and a desire to have real fellowship with God. Number two is think and consecrate. Be aware that Jesus is near. And number three, preparation. Prepare yourself for meditating on His Word. Prepare yourself. See, many questions why our prayers are not answered. And I hope that some of the points that I've shared with you tonight have helped you in that area. But there are many times, folks, when our prayers are unanswered, and it is just not the answer that we desire or the timing that we think that we need. If you are praying for healing, keep in mind that healing is a process that occurs over time. Remember, if we asked with a right heart, a right attitude, and with faith according to His will, He will answer and provide every time. Amen? James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's stand here tonight. Amen. God is a great God, and I am so thankful to be a part of the family of God. Amen. I'm thankful to be able to pastor a great church and a great group of people. And I am excited to see where God has taken this church and the direction that God is moving this church along, folks. Amen. The little things that I hear here now and then. Amen. And it's so exciting to see that the faith is building and rising. Amen. But folks, it'll all happen when we get fervently in tune with God. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. You believing that God is going to avail us to these things that we're asking Him for? Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we love You and we appreciate You, God, and we just ask You to just touch each one here tonight, and we pray, God, that Your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another. Greet our guest in Jesus' name.